Welcome back to the podcast, Medical Education Listeners. This is Kevin Eva, as always, the editor-in-chief from the journal, and I have the pleasure today of speaking with Gaëtan Cousin, who conducted his PhD at the University of Neuchâtel in Switzerland, and with the work that he's been doing has moved on to Oxford University in a postdoctoral fellowship in the Department of Psychiatry there. And we're going to discuss a paper that he has coming out in the September 2013 issue of Medical Education entitled "When Physician Expressed Uncertainty Leads to Patient Dissatisfaction, a Gender Study." Gaëtan, first of all, welcome to the podcast, and I hope you're enjoying your time in Oxford.
I do. Thank you for inviting me. I'm delighted to talk to you today.
Yeah, my pleasure. You're 6 months into this postdoctoral position, I understand, and continuing to study individual differences in a variety of ways.
Exactly. So my PhD was about how people, depending on their individual characteristics, so personality, attitudes, and gender, react to their physician communication style. And I'm still in this individual difference topic, but now moving a little bit more on how people react to therapeutical context, depending, again, on their individual characteristics. Yeah.
And this particular pair of studies, actually, that you're having published in Medical Education a month and a half are focused on communication skills of physicians and specifically the uncertainty that they experience that we all know to be an omnipresent component of medical decision-making, but still creates a lot of difficulty for people when it comes time to at least consider disclosing that they're uncertain about something to one of their patients. What's your view on where the physician community stands nowadays on when and how often, and I suppose even whether or not such uncertainty should be disclosed?
Well, I think that there is an ethical issue here and that patients have a right to be fully informed about any uncertainty that pertains to either the diagnosis or the origin of the treatment or the course of the treatment. And I think the question is not whether physicians should communicate or not, but the idea of our paper was to see whether express uncertainty might have certain negative impacts in given situations and in order to be aware and then maybe counterbalance those potentially negative effects by emphasizing other communication skills. But I think the question is really not whether physicians should or not disclose. They are advised to disclose uncertainty, but being aware of potential problems that are associated with it are important, I think.
Well, I think it's that awareness of potential problems that likely makes people hesitant to disclose. And so I guess I'm curious as well about the potential for disconnect between what they're advised to do and what they're comfortable or actually do. Do you have any sense as to the proportion of times is probably too blunt to measure, but how comfortable the physician community is in general with such disclosures at this point in our history?
Do you mean how comfortable they are with disclosing uncertainty?
Yeah, I'm wondering about empirical studies that indicate what the dominant view is right now with respect to how easy it is for people to disclose uncertainty with their patients.
Well, there is research documenting that physicians still have problems expressing uncertainty to their patients. And of course, this varies between physicians. And so I think this is a problem that is still present. And so although we have this illusion of certainty in medicine, there is a lot of things that are not completely sure. And the current trend in medical education is to say to physicians, you should communicate uncertainty. This is the official discourse about it. But very interestingly, past research has shown that expressing uncertainty could have either no effect on patient satisfaction or even negative effects. And so this is why we ran this study, because we were interested in understanding exactly why and why past research was so ambiguous about those effects and produces conflicting results.
And in fact, I think the results you just quoted, if anything, would likely reinforce physicians' hesitation with disclosing, because they might be ambiguous. No effect or a negative effect is a far cry from disclosure improving the relationship between the physician and patient, or am I misreading that?
Yes, but what research shows is either it has no effect on patient satisfaction or trust, or it has a negative effect. And the problem with communication uncertainty is that it can be either perceived as the honest disclosure of existing gaps in medical knowledge, or it can be perceived as a lack of competence on the side of the physician. And I think this is precisely why some physicians are reluctant to express uncertainty, because they don't want to be perceived as incompetent. And this is exactly why we were interested in how patients might perceive differently expressions of uncertainty depending on the gender of the physician and on their gender. So might give maybe different interpretation to those expressions of uncertainty. So if it's a man, is it perceived as an honest disclosure of gaps in medical knowledge? And if it's a woman expressing uncertainty, will she be perceived as lacking self-confidence? And I think this is the perspective that we adopted.
And that actually leads beautifully to the next question I had for you, which is the post-colon part of your title is a gender study. And I'm wondering, of all the variables that you could have looked at to see what might mediate these effects, why was gender thought to be important in this particular domain?
It seemed as something very interesting to look at because gender effects in medical consultation are amply studied, and we have a lot of research documenting effects and on the way patients perceive physician depending on the gender of the physician. So this research was conducted with Marion Schwinmast from the University of Neuchâtel, and she has a strong expertise in those questions. And she had shown that, for instance, patients perceived given behavior in the physician as more dominant when they are expressed by female than when they are expressed by male physicians. And they tend to judge female physicians more harshly than they do male physicians when they perceive such disclosure of dominance. And we have a lot of evidence showing that depending on the gender composition, the satisfaction varies, that opposite gender diets are more problematic than same gender diets, and that in particular, when the physician is a woman and the patient is a man, you have typically lower levels of satisfaction and trust. And so all this suggests that patients use different criteria for judging the physician depending on the gender of the physician and depending on their own gender. And we thought that this could be a potential explanation for those conflicting results in past research, because the gender composition of the samples of past studies varied greatly, and some studies contained only men, male physicians, and male patients, and other contained samples of predominantly female patients. And this mapped very nicely to this gender stereotype and different criteria of judging physician. So this is why we adopted this angle, and it paid off, I think.
And just before we get into the payoff or the specifics of the studies, can I ask for your views on explorations like this, how you avoid the risk of overgeneralization? And you mentioned earlier the individual differences between people, and whenever we talk about something like gender, it can come across as though one is suggesting that all women are the same and all men are the same. And how do you find that balance between looking for exploratory factors like this without running the risk of overgeneralizing?
Well, I think that the role of research is to point out trends and to say, well, be careful in general when female physician expressed uncertainty. If they face a male patient, this might lower patient satisfaction in general. But again, we do not deny the fact that every patient is different, every physician is different. But just looking at those trends might help, maybe be more sensitive to given gender constellation and adapt, at least being aware that this happens more frequently than in other gender diets, that if you are a female physician and you face a male patient, there are higher risks that your expression of uncertainty might lower patient satisfaction.
That actually leads us nicely to the specific details, because I think whenever we get into situations like this, having some sort of replication and some variety of methods becomes invaluable. And one of the real strengths, I think, of your paper that makes it strongly unique in our field is that you have put a couple of studies together in a single article that address the same core issue from two different methodologies. And so maybe you could describe both studies for our listeners.
Yeah, sure. So we conducted a first study that was a randomized controlled trial in which the communication of uncertainty and the gender of the physician was manipulated in vignettes. And we had adult participants of different age groups being put in the position of patients, so being asked to imagine facing a physician and reading those vignettes. And so uncertainty was varied. So in one type of vignette, there were high level of expressed uncertainty, and in the other, there was a low level of expressed uncertainty. And once the physician was presented as being a man, and the other conditions, it was presented as being a woman. And so in this first study, we found that when physicians were presented as being women and when they expressed uncertainty, patient satisfaction was lower than when physician was presented as being a man. And so we had this manipulated setting which allowed for causality inferences, but what we wanted was more external validity as well. So we conducted a second study in which we filmed real medical consultations between real patient and real physician. And then we analyzed the physician discourse and we coded the level of expressed uncertainty. And here again, we found that when the physician was a woman, expressed uncertainty led to less patient satisfaction, and especially so when the patient was a man, which was an addition to the first study.
And in that second case where you were using videos of real consultations, was it the patient who was actually part of the consultation who provided the rating, or did you, again, take these videos and show them to a variety of other patients who were asked to rate the performance of the physician?
No, the level of expressed uncertainty was coded by an independent rater on the basis of the video, so we are not asking the patients to rate physician certainty. We wanted something that was independent.
Right, no, I'm sorry. I meant the satisfaction measure itself. Was that the real patients, or was that a group of patients who were watching the
videos? No. Oh, this was the real patient. The patients who were actually in the visit were asked about their satisfaction at the end of the visit.
Right, perfect.
And,
okay.
And yeah.
Okay, so you've got the one real-world setting with an actual patient and physician relationship, and the one more highly controlled setting with a variety of patients watching.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and
fairly consistent results across the two.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Apart from the fact that the second study added this element that the effect was observed only in male patient, so it was male patient facing female physician who reacted less well in terms of satisfaction to physician expressions of uncertainty.
Right.
Whereas in the first study, it was an effect that was found both in female and in male patients. But again, it was in reaction to female physicians' expression of uncertainty.
Right, so the results actually create a bit of a dilemma because best practice models are suggesting physicians should disclose uncertainty. We believe, at least to some extent, that patient satisfaction with their care is influential in terms of their adherence and outcomes, more health-related outcomes as a result. And so, to some extent, it's the patient's views who might need to be addressed rather than the physician behavior. Do you have any thought as to how we move forward from this seeming paradox?
Well, I think that, of course, I agree. In this case, the problem seems to be more on the side of the patient, that as a healthcare provider, you cannot really ask for the patient to adapt. You are supposed
to
adapt, or at least to be aware of the situation. But of course, it's a society problem, and I hope that society will continue to evolve in the right direction. But I think it can be seen as a useful information, something good to know. If it's replicated in future study and we can find this effect again, I think it will be nice for female physicians to know that there might be this potential problem and find way of counterbalancing it, of dealing with that in an efficient way.
Mm. Okay, so as my last question, then maybe I'll ask directly about that, which is, where are you going with this work and what do you see as the critical next steps for determining the educational and healthcare implications?
Well, I think first these results need to be replicated. This is the first study, and I think that before we can give final recommendations to physicians, we need to have evidence that the effect is stable in different contexts as well. So I was thinking, for instance, in other contexts, this was a study that was made in primary care. So patients had medical conditions of low to medium gravity, but maybe in contexts in which patients have more severe diseases that elicit more uncertainty or diagnoses that are more complex, it would be interesting to see if these results can be replicated or if they are stronger or disappear. And so this replication and generalization would be the first step, I think. And then I think it might be very interesting to go into the details and look more precisely at what expressions of uncertainty trigger the negative effect on the patient. So we know, for instance, that when physicians say, "I don't know," this has much more of a negative impact than when the physician say, "I don't know, but I will check and come back to you."
Yeah.
So I think that expressions of uncertainty are not equal between them, and there are probably ways to express uncertainty in a way that is less detrimental to the patient satisfaction. And this is probably the next step, just to finding out and refining those results.
Great. Sounds like you have your work cut out for you during your postdoc.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. So I'll finish by reminding our listeners that I've been speaking with Gaetan Cousin, who is currently a postdoctoral fellow at Oxford, and along with his co-authors has a paper coming out in September 2013, Medical Education, that we've been discussing, which is titled When Physician Expressed Uncertainty Leads to Patient Dissatisfaction, a Gender Study. Thanks, Gaetan. I look forward to seeing how this work evolves.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your interest.